listening to It's Complicated with your hosts, Jennifer Golden and Lauren Leonelli.
Hello, Master Daters. Welcome back for another episode of It's Complicated.
The struggle is real when you're dating in the city.
I'm Jen.
And I'm still not Jen.
Oh my goodness. You kept me on suspense there. Who are you?
I'm like a non-binary gender fluid Jen.
Well, we'll have to ask Molly if that's real.
I think I just made something up. But basically, I'm Lauren, who is also not Jen.
No, you're not. But you are assigned to be Lauren.
Okay, I am assigned. I was born Lauren, and I am now assigning a new pronoun to myself. It is not Jen.
Yes, that is correct. There. And guys,
I made it make sense.
You did. And it takes a village because we need so many people to help make it make sense. We bring you the show weekly with our stories, tips, an expert guest just like Molly to help you navigate the complicated world of dating. So help us in the podcast world by doing your part in rating our show and leave us comments about what you think.
You guys, find us at It's Complicated Podcast on iTunes. And like Jen said, rate, comment, and tell a friend. Telling a friend is super important. I mean, rating and commenting 5 stars and saying how awesome and pretty we are, that is totally necessary. However, sharing is equally as necessary because it shows we have a loyal following, a growing audience. It helps us bring you sponsors and offers. And you guys want sponsors and offers, correct? I believe that is correct.
At least I do. So do it for me.
Yeah. And then if you support our sponsors, they support us and vice versa. And then we just keep feeding the village that is this complicated world of dating and relationships. So do your part because we are helping you. So help us help you.
Exactly. And guys, today we have for you, or not guys, I don't know what to say now, but we'll find out.
Humans.
Humans. Some of you don't act like that all the time, but it's okay. That's what the show is here for, to teach you how to be a better human. Mm-hmm. We've got the Gender Reveal podcast host, Molly Woodstock, in to discuss gender roles and dating in the LGBTQIA world, how to leave judgment at the door, and how to stay safe.
That's right. Molly is a queer, biracial journalist, audio producer, and equity educator based in Portland, Oregon, where they produce and host the Gender Reveal podcast, which you guys should definitely check out. It's awesome and fun and very informative. It's a podcast that interviews trans and non-binary artists and activists, analyzes gender-related news, and answers listener questions about what the heck gender is, because it's an ever-changing thing, guys, and we need to know the specifics. So that's why we got Molly in here to help us out. They also lead diversity and equity workshops at schools, businesses, and newsrooms, with a particular focus on trans inclusion and equity. And as a writer, they have contributed to the Washington Post, Bitch, Portland Monthly Magazine, and other massive publications.
And if you're trying to figure out which pronoun to use, just ask our favorite resident gender detective. Welcome to the studio, Molly.
Yay!
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
Oh my gosh.
Of course.
Thank you for coming on. We are so excited to talk to you about all gender-related things. We're going to do a little gender 101 like we know you did on your podcast. But for our listeners, we're going to, like, if they've listened to yours, you can get a refresher, or you can just, like, go through some of the stuff with you. But before we get into all that, we are going to talk about some of our recent fun activities. Like, I went to a wedding in Palm Springs, which is very, very heterosexual, if we're going to talk about it. Like every other wedding you've ever been to. I mean, it was beautiful, but it's like, you know, the typical boy meets girl, they get married, have this thing with all of the, like, normal traditions. I am in a heterosexual relationship, but I feel like I don't know, maybe it's because I'm a little bit older. Like, I don't want to just do the, like, things that I've already seen. So there's, like, I'm starting to discover that there's a lot about me that is maybe, like, less traditional than I thought. But it was a really fun wedding. And actually what was great about it was that couldn't be duplicated, I think, was the energy was just very, like, it felt like the mother of the bride said, it takes a village, like 4 times during her speech.
Did she listen to our podcast?
I mean, she is a single mother that raised 2 girls from different fathers. And one of the fathers of the bride actually was, like, kind of left her in the middle of her pregnancy. So she was, like, basically shouting out, like, all her girls and friends that helped her out. And it was really nice. And
does she want to come on the show?
She just felt like, yeah, she just felt like this wedding was for everybody. And it did really feel that way. So that energy was
really
awesome.
Wait, that's so Mamma Mia, like the movie Mamma Mia, because she's a single mom and like it took the entire Greek village to put together that wedding and raise that kid and see that love grow. Yeah. And it feels like you all, it actually is maybe a little bit selfish, but you feel like you contributed to the reason that person is not an asshole.
No, you totally do. And so at the end of the day, even though it looked like a very traditional wedding, it came from a non-traditional place. And so I really enjoyed that aspect of the wedding. And then I just celebrated my 3-year anniversary with my fiance, like dating anniversary. And so that's
Wait,
that.
You called it a love-iversary.
I mean, he called it that and then I just copied him. I don't even know what that means.
Well, isn't it when he said, I love you?
I mean, yeah, it is when he said.
Because you threw him that birthday and he said, I love you?
Yeah, he better have because it was fucking awesome.
Why is it that I remember this exact
moment
and
I
you don't?
I don't know. You weren't even there.
No, I wasn't. I was not there. I was actually in Palm Springs.
Oh, look, see how that happened.
Yeah.
What did you do this?
Oh, what didn't I do, guys? So I went on a date on Thursday. So last Thursday. Then I went to another baby shower, which was full of couples and little ones that resemble them running around.
Oh my God.
Poorly behaved and in the sun way too long. But anyway, then I had dog training that I'm doing with my child who's so poorly behaved. I definitely have that kid in school that's like, uh-oh, that one's a problem child. We feel bad for that parent.
At least you can recognize it.
Oh yeah. No, she's a menace. Adorable, but so bad. Then I felt like a single mom when I was dealing with it. She had to go to the vet because she had an eye infection. Then I had to get her medicine. Then I had to give it to her, but then I had to still train her. And it was like all these responsibilities related to the creature that I was like, ah, this is what it's like. Maybe I'm going to be single forever. I'm definitely not going to be a single parent, but that brings me to
hopefully not, unless hopefully that's not what you want.
Exactly. I make the decisions because this is my universe. So then I went on another date. And it was actually really great. I'll leave it at that because I feel like I want to let it unfold naturally on the show. And if he's listening, I don't want him to know too much. So stop listening to the podcast.
Yeah.
If you're listening.
Oh, we're going to get into all this too with like LGBTQ dating and stuff. So
yeah. The other thing I just have to say is I have a new addiction and the addiction is watching The Bold Type. If you haven't seen it, stop what you're doing. Don't stop listening to this podcast right now. But when you're done listening to the podcast, immediately start watching The Bold Type. Nothing compares. I love it. I want to marry it.
I don't know what it is. Molly, do you know what it is?
No, I have no idea.
Okay. Well, it actually ties a little bit into our topic today. So it's about three girls that work at a magazine called Scarlet in New York City. It's like their first job out of college. They all work their way up from being interns or something. They all have different roles within the company. And you see their friendship along with their love lives, along with their careers transpire. It's fascinating. One person grapples with her sexuality. She goes from being what she calls hetero to then being, she just likes this one woman, but then she's like, wait, now I'm a lesbian. I don't know. It's a whole thing. Her friend support her through it all. It's amazing. I love it. I want to marry it, like I said. The minute we stop podcasting, I will be watching it again.
If you married it, what would that make you?
I would be...
Queer?
Oh, I don't know. Molly, what would that make me if I love a thing? Like a show. I don't even know what it would make me. I don't think it's anything.
It's nothing.
A fan.
A fan. That's
either
what
way,
it would be.
When we love something so much, we want to marry it. So yes. That's how that happens here on It's Complicated.
That's right. Okay, so Molly, quickly tell us before we get, we're going to do like we said, a quick gender 101 with you just because you're so knowledgeable and things are ever changing in that. So we want to like make sure everyone's brushed up in our knowledge. But tell us about your podcast and how that came to be.
Sure. So my podcast is called Gender Reveal. It's exactly what you described in the bio. It's a podcast where I talk to other trans folks, non-binary folks, trans men, trans women, who are activists, who are artists, who are educators, who are writers, a lot of cartoonists for some reason, just all sorts of folks, all sorts of different backgrounds, different parts of the world. And we just talk about gender, but in a way that might be different than what your listeners have heard before, because it's trans people talking about gender without asking the questions that cis people would usually ask, because we're kind of beyond that. So we don't spend a lot of time talking about like, how did you know you were trans? Or when did you come out, or what surgeries have you had? We talk more upper level conversations about gender, or I would just say more interesting conversations about gender, because I just asked all my guests the same questions over and over again. It'd be a pretty boring show.
Right.
And then we also talk about gender-related news, specifically trans-related news. And unfortunately, there's constantly trans-related news, and it's always bad. But I try to share good trans-related news as much as possible, because the community that I have like really prefers to hear good news, just because it's so rare that we hear good news in the trans community. Sure. And then we also, about twice a season on average, me and my friend Z, I answer a bunch of listener questions, and those can be questions sent in by trans people. They can also be questions sent in by cisgender listeners, so people who aren't trans. It could also be people who are questioning and aren't sure if they're trans, and we just tackle a bunch of those. So if at the end of the show, folks who are listening have questions, they could listen to Genderveal, and then if they still have questions, they can submit a question to Genderveal, and we'll try to answer it on the show.
Oh my gosh, yes, please, please do. Then we can kind of like pod swap, if you will. So yeah, all your listeners are tuning into this, but again, forgive us for going over some things that you may have already gone over on your own podcast, but we're going to start with like just a quick overview. Like LGBTQIA refers to lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, queer, or questioning, intersex, and asexual or allied. So we've heard thrown around this term a lot already, and you, I guess, would say that you call yourself queer, but people are a little, some people can be a little bit like worried about using the use of this word, because it used to be like have a negative connotation.
Or that, okay, so also just to chime in, so just so you know, like about us, like we know basically like what we know, but we don't know everything, and we're not super informed in the details of all of the initials and what is transpiring right now in this community. Like you said, you actually go like pretty deep into that subject matter, but for our listeners, because we don't cover this topic all that often, and us, we're coming from a place where we generally want to be informed. So queer, like Lauren was saying, used to be what gay is today, right?
Wasn't it just like a negative connotation because it meant like weird or odd, but now it's an okay term to use, correct?
Oh, you're asking me. Hello. Okay, so I first want to correct something, which is that the A in LGBTQIA does not stand for ally. It does stand for asexual. Okay. So the whole point of LGBTQIA is it's capturing everyone who isn't a straight, cis, allosexual person. And so something that straight cis people like to do in order to feel like they're participating is to say, well, the A stands for ally, and so I'm part of this too, but it's not. It's not for allies.
Also, like, why would they want to be part of it too? Like, you're you, they're, like, this group.
Exactly.
And I think that is odd, but anyway.
Yeah, so anyway, so just to clarify, it stands for asexual. Anyway, so as in terms of queer, this term, like you said, was used as a slur in the times of many queer and trans elders that we have now. And so there are many like older folks who might identify as gay or lesbian or trans or something else who don't like hearing the word queer, because it was used to hurt them and people like them and threaten them and people like them in their own lifetimes. However, as you've said, like this is now a popular term. So my advice is that if you are a straight person, I would definitely 100% avoid ever using queer as a noun, which you might hear queer people do. So like I could say like, wow, like there are so many queers here. And that's not something that a straight person would ever say, because that would be inappropriate. It's like a reclaimed word within an in-group. So people without the in-group shouldn't use it that way. In terms of just saying the word queer, it is actually a matter of debate amongst queer people whether it is okay for straight cis people to refer to queer people with the word queer. So something you might say to hedge if you're worried about it is you could say like that person is queer identified if they identify as queer, or you could just say, you know, a different, if they use a different word also, like I can identify as queer, I can identify as gay, I could identify as bisexual, all of those words apply to me. They might seem contradictory, and we can go into that later, but like you know, like you can use any word that I use to describe myself, you can use to describe me. But if you don't hear me use a word to describe myself, you shouldn't use that word for me. And that goes for everyone. And so if someone identifies as queer, you can call them queer or queer identified. But I wouldn't call everyone queer unless you know that that's a term they're comfortable with. I would use whatever they personally use for themselves. Because I think also we like to assign labels to other people and those might not be correct. And so it's really important that we only use words that people have used to describe themselves to describe themselves.
Right. Absolutely. That's a general principle across the board, not just within this community, yeah, but as human beings all together. Because,
right.
I mean, I always actually, so I'm Jewish, this is Jen. I always hate when people like say, oh, you don't eat red meat or like pork because you're Jewish and kosher. I'm like, absolutely not. That's not why. Don't decide for me. Thank you. Mm-hmm. It's when I was 12, I decided I hated it. It's gross. Bye.
Agreed.
Don't tell me what I am and what I'm not. And yeah. Then also, like, if someone's trying to set me up with somebody, they'll be like, well, he has to be Jewish, right? I'm like, no, stop ruining Christmas for me. I love Christmas. Just present me with a human that's not going to kill me in my sleep. Like,
yeah,
just get me what I want.
I mean, I think also queer is, like, a term that can be, can have so many meanings or is more
right.
like umbrella term that you can identify with if you fall under, I identify with this or I identify with as this or as that. So it's also hard to just throw that term out because it can mean one or more things. So it's sort of hard to figure out what exactly you mean when you're saying it, unless you're saying I identify as this yourself.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Right. Okay.
Okay. So now I have a question though, because I'm a big fan of the show Queer Eye. So to me, when a show comes out with that name, I'm like, well, this must be an appropriate thing to say then, because it's a TV show that's wildly popular and I love the people on the show. So is that terminology just inappropriate, or like, is it okay because it works for the TV show?
Yeah, I mean, it's okay because both versions of Queer Eye were made by gay men or queer men. And so these men are self-identifying as queer on the show. And that's why it is appropriate.
Okay. So really,
you can say the name of a show. No one will yell at you for saying the name of a show because these specific men have like taken that label upon themselves for the show.
Right. Got it. So, okay. What is the most common misconception about this group that we have just, you know, brought up? Well, obviously the allied thing is obviously.
I think just that we're all a monolith and we're all the same. Like asking one misconception about lesbians, bisexuals, gay people, queer people, trans people, intersex people, and asexual people is like a wild range of things, right? Like we could dial into stereotypes and misconceptions on every single one of the groups that I just mentioned. So I guess if I really had to dial down, I would say that people get confused because some of the words in that acronym are sexualities. So lesbian, gay, bisexual, asexual, those are sexual orientations. And some of them are gender identities, which is transgender. And then intersex is actually neither of those. It's actually literally like a biological sex condition. And so I think that when people hear LGBTQIA, they think that that is all about sexual orientation. And they think that being transgender is a sexual orientation when in fact it's not. Those are two different things. That's just a long acronym that we use to describe people with marginalized genders or marginalized sexual orientations or marginalized biological sexes.
Makes sense. And within each one, you can cross over to the other. Like one thing doesn't equal, one gender doesn't equal one sexuality. Like,
yeah. So that's something that I had no idea was a misconception that I learned from other people, is that a lot of straight cisgender people think that all transgender people are straight. Which is very funny to me because I know, you know, possibly hundreds of trans people and I know like three straight ones. So I just, that would be one as well, is that you don't have to be straight to be trans, although you can be straight and be trans.
Yeah, you can be any of the things. And you also have
right.
to, I would think that if I personally, myself, this is just me, if I felt like I was trapped in another body, that I was assigned to this gender, but I identified with another. And I wanted to, for me, make physical changes or emotional changes to become the gender that I identify with, then I would think that I would be open-minded enough to then see where that takes me to the sexuality, this, who I'm sexually attracted to. That could change if you, or not.
Wait, doesn't it also possibly change too if you take hormones? Like, doesn't it sometimes switch things around? Because, like, maybe you don't even expect it, but that's just how it works out when you're in the process of the hormones.
Yeah, that's true. There are definitely people whose sexual orientation, sexual orientation change once they're on hormones. And there are people who don't take hormones, and there are people who do and they don't change. And, you know, it can really be anything, just like we keep saying. It's like, if that's like a theme that it could come back to in this episode, it's just that anything can really be anything. So, but yeah, a lot of people re-examine their sexual orientation during a gender transition because how they see themselves change.
Yeah, makes so much sense. It's a huge change. So now dating, we talk about dating and relationships on our show, particularly Jen and I are heterosexual, so we talk about that, but from our own standpoint. But dating in the LGBTQIA world, it obviously has its own set of complications, just like anybody in the world would have their own set of complications. But one of them we know that you brought up was like how to figure out if you're going on a date or like having a platonic hang with somebody. I, as a heterosexual person, have felt that before, but for you personally and what you identify with, how is that a complication for you?
Yeah. So normally I say that I can't speak for all queer people, and I can't, but this is one of the most like universal things that I hear people talk about, for like, especially queer people who aren't at that moment trying to participate in hookup culture, because that's like a whole other thing, right? When you're like cruising, that's one thing. But another thing is when you're trying to have like a nice casual date, and you don't know whether someone's asking you to hang out because they're trying to hang out, whether they're asking you to hang out because they're trying to take you on a date, whether they're trying to, they don't know. And then also I have a hard time like sussing out my own feelings, because a lot of time when I meet someone really cool, like I can't immediately figure out if I want to try to date them, if I want to try to make out with them, if I want to just be friends with them. And like, I'll have to catch myself sometimes and be like, look, you don't have to make out with everyone you meet. Like, sometimes you can just be friends. Like, that makes total sense on its face. But I think when you get into the headspace of dating and you're open to dating like people of any gender, then suddenly it's possible to have every interaction be sort of fraught because you're trying to figure out if you're trying to date that person.
Right.
Sorry, what did you say?
Is that not super exhausting trying, like, I can barely get through a date with like trying to decide if I even want to go on a second date with somebody, let alone being with somebody, spending time with them in your busy schedule, not even knowing what the goal is while you're hanging out. Like, you're just actually trying to figure out what their intention is in the first place.
Unless somebody specifically says, Molly, I want to take you out on a
totally
date.
So
attracted to you. Yeah.
But here's the thing, is like, this is really funny because I've actually gotten bolder, because I think a problem, like specifically, like I'm not dating cis men. And so I'm dating other people who were sort of taught over our lifetimes to not be the one who makes the move. Like, maybe not overtly, but like, I think a lot of people who aren't raised as men are sort of subtly taught that we should wait for someone else to make the move. But the problem is, if two people who are waiting for someone else to make the move are trying to hang, no one may ever say something. And I've had like a number of like really good friends that I've made on dating apps. But the reason that we were only friends and we never like seriously dated was because neither of us was like bold enough to say anything.
Right.
So I learned from that, and I have started being more direct and saying like, hey, would you like to go on a date? Or like, hey, next time we hang out, would you like to make out? Or like, hey, is this a date or a platonic hang? But the problem is that even then, like, people can change their minds at any time, right? Like, they're entitled to do that.
Yeah.
And so I've definitely gone through stages where like, I have been like, hey, is this a date or a hang? And they're like, oh, it's a date. And then it still plays out as like a very platonic hang. And you're like, wait, what's happening? Did you change your mind?
You
are you very shy?
categorize that boundary, because like a hetero person would be like, I'm hanging out with a girl. This is not a date. Like that's your boundary, or that's what you think. Mm-hmm. You never know what you're going to actually feel.
And but, then, yeah, go ahead.
But that's great that you actually like communicate. I think that's
That should go for every dating human, no matter what you identify with or who you're attracted to. Everyone should be able to be open and express themselves. And the gender roles that society puts on heterosexual people, or just whatever sex you're born that you're assigned, like that's bullshit. You should not be like, oh, I'm a woman, so I can't do A, B, or C. We talk about this all the time on our show. Like, if you want to have sex with someone, just do it. If you want to text someone back, just do it. Like, just be honest. Everyone appreciates it.
Yeah, and your boundaries, communicate what you're looking for. You don't have to be the cool person who's so mysterious that doesn't actually serve anybody.
No.
But I have a really important question that has just been plaguing me.
Yes.
Who pays? Like, how does that work? Because like, when I go on dates, I'm like, oh, well, the guy pays, because that's just what guys do on dates. You know, like, who pays? Who, if, especially if you don't even know if it's a date, how does that work?
It has never occurred to me that there should be a rule. So sometimes I will pay for myself. Sometimes I will pay for both people. Sometimes they will both pay for me. It just plays out when we're leaning against the bar, taking the check or whatever. Yeah, I've never thought about it in advance. A lot of times I try to pay for it if it's just someone who I know doesn't have a ton of extra money, or if it's someone that I like have an extra huge crush on. But yeah, I just tend to think of it the same exact way as I think of like paying for my friends and roommates. Cause I'll also like buy a lot of stuff for my friends or my roommates when I get the chance. Like I bought my roommate a drink last night and I wasn't trying to date my roommate, you know? So like, I don't think of it any differently than like two friends hanging out, deciding who's going to pay.
But that sounds like a language of love for you. So what, however that requires, whether you like love that person as a friend or more, you're like a giving person and you want them to have that drink. Just like I want someone to buy me that drink. They love me, buy me my drink.
My fiance and I, he is a man, I am a woman. If the paying is like, I'll have to insist because of those societal gender roles that like drive him crazy. But like, the paying is random in the moment and pretty equal, I think.
Yeah.
No, not maybe not, but still, it's like what you're describing, Molly. And we're in a very committed relationship where those things go out the window. It's just like, okay, here, I got it. And then he'll just like secede or whatever. Like, okay, fine. But yeah, it's kind of like nice to have that, just like, don't have to think about it or get all, yeah. I like the just do what feels right in the moment. Maybe heterosexual people should fucking do that too.
Maybe. I mean, we're still evolving. Yeah. Honestly, we're talking about like this group of individuals and like the ever-changing initials of the words. And like you even just informed us, like it's not allied. So like, despite what we're reading on the internet, like it's not what it always seems. So in terms of like our, like a heterosexual relationship, same thing, the gender roles, we talk about it with Me Too movement, like how are things changing? What are people supposed to do at this point when women are now men's bosses? Like who does what for whom? And I guess it's just, we figure it out as we go, whatever feels natural to us is what is right.
Yeah, I honestly think that the assigned gender is like as best as people can let that shit go, the easier it's going to be for everybody. It's just people are so hung up on trying to label things that it just gets a little confusing. But we're going to try to clear that up here. You mentioned dating apps, Molly. So which dating app is like the most queer friendly?
None of them. They're all bad.
Hetero too, but
yeah, I mean they're literally all bad. So the two, I would say the most common one used by trans people and so a lot of people use Grindr. I don't personally use Grindr. I know that Grindr can be really transphobic, but can be a good place for like cisgender white gay men, and like that's not an experience that I can speak to, but like I know that Grindr is popular amongst a certain set of gay folks and other LGBTQIA folks. I would say for like the peers in my scene, the most common app is Tinder. And one issue with Tinder is that you can get banned just for being trans. So I know multiple people who can't use Tinder anymore. And the reason they're blocked is because they're trans, and people report you when you're trans as if you've broken a rule and you get blocked.
Molly, sorry. I'm so, forgive me for sounding ignorant, but what the fuck is the problem with that?
So people just don't like trans people, and so they just report them for being trans, and then if you get reported enough times, you get automatically banned.
Yeah, but they have to be, okay, so I'm just playing devil's advocate here. Like, on for the sake of Tinder not being world's worst company on the planet, because obviously you use it, so it can't be all that bad. They have to at some point say, hey, let me look into that. Why was this person banned? Let's fix this and put that, reinstate them. Like, is that a thing, or do they really just ban you forever?
They just ban you. My friend was banned like 4 different times.
Okay, well, I feel like we should take a stand on it's complicated and not use Tinder.
Yeah.
No, I mean, the problem is there's not really a better app. Like, I think that there's, I've never heard of an app where trans people don't get banned for being trans. And so the other issue that exists on dating apps, the two that I've used the most would be Tinder and OkCupid, I guess. And the issue on both of those is that you are now allowed to like self-identify your gender, whereas when I first got dating apps, like, you had to be a man or a woman, but now you can choose any gender you want, or among a very long list. But the problem is, in addition to choosing that gender, you still also additionally have to choose either men or women, because their attitude is basically like, okay, yeah, you say you're non-binary, whatever, but like, do we show you with the men or do we show you with the women? They don't know how to present it otherwise. And so that's a huge issue, is that like, even if I'm, and a ton of websites are like that, Facebook's like that. Like, you can pick your own gender inside of Facebook, but to make a new account, you have to pick male or female. So I just think that that's something to keep an eye on, is like, one, just the blocking of trans people, but two, just like whether there's actually space for you to self-identify consistently or not. I do want to shout out, there's an app called Thirst, spelled with a U, T-H-U-R-S-T, developed by Morgan Brummel. And I just interviewed Morgan for my show Gender Reveal. So it's not out yet, but it'll be out at some point. And Morgan is a non-binary queer Black person who is working on an app that is safe for queer and trans people, particularly queer and trans people of color, and is trying to find ways around the problems that I'm describing, and actually working on kicking abusers off the site instead of kicking just like victims of abuse off the site.
Oh, that's so fantastic. I love that.
And yeah. I mean, I will say this, we've covered all of the new dating apps from the beginning of time. And like, when something's just getting started, it's like a slow build. So like, somebody might be really excited to meet their person on there, but then it's like, they need to know about it first. Thankfully for like podcasts like yours, bringing awareness to these different tools, I think, you know, is a great start.
Yeah. And it sounds so simple, but really there's so many, picking a gender, like, should we even have to do that anymore?
No, why do we have to label everything?
Like, yeah, let's totally. Maybe we'll get to a point hopefully soon where that's not even a thing. Well, after you're on all the dating apps or you're meeting people in real life, however that happens for you, if you then date someone and you get to the inevitable breakup, how, for like you personally, Molly, or whoever you like, however you identify, or your circle of friends, like, what are the complications of navigating like breakups in the small and extremely interconnected scene that you are a part of?
Totally. I am going to answer that. I just had one more thought, which is that amongst queers, I would say that honestly, the best dating app is Instagram. Because you can slide into people's DMs very like in a chill way, and you don't have to label your gender, and you can just look hot. So I just want to throw that out there.
The way is making some changes. They're trying to jump on the bandwagon of like slipping into the DMs, and they made, and their last like big marketing push, they made announced that they are like doing kind of like a liking, hearting kind of thing on Facebook, because they know people use these platforms for that kind of shit. So Instagram, all about it. Okay, so
Breakups. So something that I think the queer community generally does really well is realizing that we all have to figure out how to be on some sort of okay terms with our exes, because otherwise it's never going to work out. Because the communities, even in places like Portland, which is like Queer Central USA, the scenes are just relatively so small and everyone's going to end up at the same events or at the same bars. And so the biggest problem I have isn't even with my own exes, it's actually with my friends' exes.
Oh.
I can forgive an ex a lot easier than I can like forgive someone who is shitty to my friend, right?
Right.
I think that's something that we just are forced to be good at is figuring out like how to be in a room. Like I'll go to a dance party and I'll see someone I dated, someone else I dated, someone my roommate dated, my roommate, someone my roommate's currently dating someone. I'm, you know, like it's just like it's everyone. Like this person's ex, this ex's ex, this ex's ex is us. This person's
like high partners. School.
Yeah, exactly. And so I think that's something that we just like have to get good at is navigating those spaces and figuring out how to be on like speaking terms with your exes and your friends' exes, because otherwise you're not going to be able to go to events anymore because
you're not going to be able to support each other. But at the same time, I need to understand this. Can you date a friend's ex? Because if the circle is limited, is that allowed if there were not super like, if they were not the worst person to your friend, but like maybe it just didn't work out or it fizzled or like something that was like not so horrible, like they didn't kill their cat.
Totally. Like, yeah. I would say it's absolutely 100% okay if you ask your friend. Like it depends on how close friends you are, but if you're a good friend, you should check in with your friend. But like, I mean, I also am non-monogamous and, you know, am around a ton of people who are also non-monogamous. And so like I'll start dating someone and then find out later that I'm friends with their partner or that, you know, like someone else I'm dating is friends with them or whatever. And so like everyone I know is dating everyone else at any given time. And there's only so many people. And so I think it's definitely okay for everyone to date each other at the same time or different times. As long as you just like have a lot of communication. And I think that's something else that queers are really, really, really good at is communication to the point of like over communicating a lot of times, because there's just like so many things that we all want to check in on and make sure that like everyone's okay with the situation.
Right. And like, listen, sometimes people say that, and I've been in relationships where guys have said that to me, like, maybe I said too much, but like, I don't ever think, I mean, I don't think at the end of the day that's necessarily a bad thing. And in a roundabout beautiful way, like what you just said, there's just no room for hate or judgment or not non-acceptance in anybody's lives, especially mine. But I cannot speak because I'm not like, you know, bullied or feel cornered by my sexuality, because that's just people think that it's okay. And I think any sexuality is okay. But for me personally, I can't directly relate, but I'm saying for you, like, unfortunately, there's no room for that kind of shit in your world, you know? So you guys, in a beautiful way, if you identify if any part of the LGBTQIA community, like there's no fucking room for that. Like, you need to accept each other and support each other, because there's way too much of that in the outside world coming in. And so in a beautiful way, you guys have to be okay with your exes and shit, which I think everyone should be okay with. And I personally don't really have issues with that.
I don't love my ex.
But I'm saying like, I don't have, if I just tried to set you up not that long ago with some guy that I used to have sex with, like, I don't give
you're
a
nice.
Shit. Well, I'm just saying, I'm also more, I don't like, believe in claiming people or whatever, and I also try to like share the love, but I'm just saying, in a beautiful roundabout way, the queer community, the LGBTQIA community, doesn't have any room for bullshit and hate. So if you guys have to accept exes and fucking each other and who's having sex with who, then good, it's not a bad thing, right?
I think that maybe it could be replicated in the larger scale and people would get along a lot better.
I agree.
But so while we have you for these last couple of minutes, we need a breakdown in all of the different terms. So we covered some of them, and literally give like your shortest log line, because we're going to run out of time, but we want to know from you. So we've covered some of these, and if you guys have been listening and you want to know what these mean, real quick, cisgender, tell us what that means.
I just want to say this is a 2-hour workshop that I can give professionally.
Oh, I'm sure.
If these 5 minutes are not enough.
Yes.
Anyway, cisgender means that you're not transgender. It means that you identify with the sex that you were assigned at birth. And so if I came out and my doctor said, it's a vagina, she's a girl, and I continued to identify as a woman my entire life, I would be cisgender.
Okay, I'm cisgender.
Same.
Yes.
Okay.
Now, although I say I'm a man, I was a man in a past life, so I don't know what that
means. You also say you were black. You're a whole lot of things.
I think I'm a bunch of this. Anyway, yeah.
So, great. What about asexual?
So asexual just means that you don't experience sexual attraction to other people. And we typically think of asexuality as a spectrum. And so to be asexual, it doesn't mean that you've never had a sexual feeling or you've never had sex or you've never been interested in sex. It just means that generally speaking, you don't feel compelled to have sex with other people of any gender.
Sexuality as a spectrum makes so much sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
So, pansexual.
Pansexual and bisexual are sometimes used interchangeably and sometimes not, and everyone has different takes on it, so I can't give you a definitive definition, but generally it means that you're attracted to people of any gender.
Okay, we have a bunch of other ones, but we're just going to pick one more, and then you guys, if you want more details on any of these things on higher levels, you can please go listen to Molly's podcast, but we're going to go one more, non-binary.
Yeah, so when we talk about transgender people, a lot of us typically think of trans men and trans women, but non-binary folks are anyone who has a gender that doesn't fit neatly into the identity of men or women. And so, you know, if you're thinking of gender as a spectrum, non-binary is literally every single part of the spectrum that isn't men and women.
It's the rainbow.
It's the rainbow.
Can I sneak one more in really quick? Okay, can you please explain intersex in the shortest way possible?
Yeah, super easy. So intersex, I actually wrote a Washington Post thing about this, so people can look that up. But intersex means that your biological traits do not match what we typically think of as a male sex or a female sex. So that could look like having chromosomes that are XXY. It could look like having a vagina but internal testes. It could be having ambiguous external genitalia. Really any body that a doctor looks at and doesn't think.
That's more science related.
That is a new term, and that is a new term to describe what people used to say as like
hermaphrodite.
Yep. Okay, got it. Okay.
I like intersex is easier
intersex
to say.
Intersex is so much cuter.
It is good. So cute, intersex, because it's in and it's sex.
Yeah, intersex is important for me to bring up because nearly 2% of people are intersex. And so when we think of gender as a spectrum, we also want to think of biological sex as a spectrum too, because intersex people exist.
Makes so much sense.
It absolutely does. Thank you so much, Molly. Please remind everybody where they can find you and how they can learn so much more.
Yes. Thank you so much for having me on the podcast. I had a lot of fun. You can find me on the podcast Gender Reveal. I'm at mollywoodstock.com and genderpodcast.com. I'm on Twitter and Instagram at Molly Woodstock and at Gender Reveal, that's GenderEveal on social media. And yeah, that's it.
You guys follow, listen, it's so much fun. Thank you. So informative. We love having you on. And you guys don't forget to tune in next week for all new show with our guest who's back for round two, the author of I Gave Up Men for Lent, Casey Main will be in. And if you want to join the class of master daters, don't forget to follow us on social media at Complicated Show, rate, comment, and tell a friend.
Absolutely, guys. And don't forget, you can follow me at Jennifer Golden on all the social medias. That's Jennifer with one N on all the places you can find me on the internet.
And you can follow me at Lauren Leonelli on all the social medias as well. And we will be back next week.
Love you long time.
You're listening to It's Complicated with your hosts, Jennifer Golden and Lauren Leonelli.